give him all the praise and the glory and the honor that he's worthy of. If God's been good to you, let's praise him and magnify him. What a good God, and how worthy this morning. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Can we just let the Holy Ghost move a little more in this house right now? Could you just let your voice loose in the house and let your praise loose? Hallelujah. 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 Ah, we give you praise, oh God. What a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. And we're excited about being a part of the greatest thing on the face of the earth. We want to give God praise for this young man that just went down in the water and was baptized and came up out of the water speaking in tongues, received the Holy Ghost this morning. Praise God. Came with Brother Dwayne. His name is Caleb, and we're excited for what God is doing in him. Praise God. Want to thank the church family for all the good work that you do and every ministry and all the wonderful work that's going on in and out of the church and extending to circles that we individuals that don't necessarily come to church. We had a funeral Friday for Sister Lisa's brother, and the church family cooked for them. Thank you, Sister. Sister Alisa and also Sister Dakota and Barnabas does such a great job with all of that, but they're ministering to people and helping them. And those of you that took part in the service, want to thank you for being available and for giving of yourselves. We also want to praise God. We had a healing right here in the worship service. Somebody has been having a difficult physical situation for a long time and just felt an instant release from pain in that worship service. Oh, you want to go ahead and give God praise for that. When you worship him, he shows up. When you worship him, he inhabits the praises of his people. And where he is, anything is possible. Praise God. Praise God. So it's just excellent. In regard to this deaf conference next week, I want to solicit your help and your participation. And it's a different thing for us. We've never done anything quite like this. But what is so compelling to Brother Jasper? And Brother Jasper's been in decline for a long time. And then there was a season when he went completely dark and he wasn't hearing at all. And then they found out if they use the right type of earbud and just crank it up to 9 million, he can hear in the service. And so that's what's going on with him right now. But he said the most compelling thing to him as a deaf individual in these services is that he can feel it. He can feel the presence of God, but he can also feel your worship and your praise and your song and your prayer. And we don't need to do this conference with an empty house. We need to do it with a full house. And we're going to have church Friday night. There are going to be classes on Saturday and a service Saturday. And then we're going to have church like this on Sunday morning, but it's going to be fully interpreted for the deaf, an active interpreter on the platform, and we'll be moving like we were translating into Spanish or some other language. The best translator I ever had was in Botswana, a little skinny guy, and he was just like a shadow. He was stuck to me, and everything I did, he would do, and it was excellent. But I want you to know, we need church. If we're going to open up a door to a new ministry, let's don't waltz up to it anemically and weakly. Let's open up the door. If we're going to cast a net, and there's a non-hearing, a deaf community in the Birmingham area, and we need to cast the net. Most of them don't know God. Most of them don't even go to church of any kind. And we have an opportunity here, so I'm asking you, come and be a part of that. And I rarely ever beat the drum and tell you to come, because you're a very faithful crowd of people and you always do the right things, and I love and appreciate you. But this is one of those things that you'll be saying, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to go, or I don't know if I should go. I don't know. What's it all about? I don't even read sign language, you know, so how can I go? But whatever you do, just come. And if we were having Spanish church all in Spanish and no English in it, but we were fishing for some folks, some Latinos. I would want you to come, and I would want you to talk in tongues, and I would want you to shout, and I would want you to press into the Spirit, because you can have an effect on something that is outside of your rational understanding. You can have an impact on something that's beyond your capacity, beyond your cognitive capacity. So, there you have it. And appreciate all that. I want to thank the media team for all the good work during this COVID season. They've done so many neat things, and they've kept us hooked up and plugged up and online. And when we were having church with nobody in the house, they were keeping us plugged up and everything going well. And we've got a new screen here behind me. It's bigger print for all of you that are visually challenged. And it's just really nice. But they're continually looking for ways to improve. And so thank God for all the ministries and musicians, praise group, all of these. Our exhorters do a great job. We're just blessed in the house today. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Shake your neighbor a little bit and just tell them, I'm so glad to be here. Do it again and tell them, I'm so glad you're here. Touch them once more and say, you just might get the Holy Ghost today. Praise God. Once more, clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify Him. Thank you, Jesus, for people being baptized in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for people getting the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus, for healing in the house. Thank you, mighty God, for provision in the house. Thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Ghost I can feel in this place today. Praise God. Well, praise God. So excellent to be a part of what God is doing. Sister Sutton sends you her greetings, and she's lonesome for you and lonesome for the house of God. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to talk about Saul today, the first king of Israel. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. That Kish, in case you were mixing him up with another Kish. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. He was really, really tall. Praise God. If you love his word this morning as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks. Those of you at home, lift up your voice and clap your hands. Praise God for the word of God forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, for the privilege of handling your word in this house today. Praise God. Brother Jermaine did a wonderful job in this pulpit Wednesday night. We had a wonderful move of God in the altar, and I thank God for what he's doing. So in this text, Saul is, this is our first encounter with him, and this is after the period of the judges, and for the most of that 400-year period, Israel has been backslidden, and so there are pockets of faithfulness throughout the country, but there are a lot of places where people are worshiping Ashtoreth and Baal and all sorts of pagan idolatry going on, and here in the last little while, they have been doing better because Samuel has been there to lead them and call them to repentance, and so Samuel is getting older now, and the people have cried out for a king, and God has heard their cry, even though he feels it as a rejection of him as their theocratic kingship. They are looking for a king, and he's going to give them one. And so we get a brief bio on Saul. Saul is well-favored. He is an exceptional young man from a very, very good family. He's mature. And as we watch him in this story, he is wealthy or moderately wealthy. He's from a respected family. And when he's out looking for his dad's livestock, he is persistent and diligent and considerate. And he's very tall. And And so we look at him from a position of natural advantage. He has a lot of natural advantage, but there are things you cannot accomplish with only your natural strength or your natural advantage. And you can't accomplish some things with simply your exemplary character or the traits that you have worked on all your life. There are mysteries that you can't solve with your natural intelligence. Down in verse 3 in our text, "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, 'Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go and seek the asses.' And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but he found them not. And they passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not." And that's what I mean by diligent and persistent. The kid is looking for those donkeys. He's looking for that lost livestock. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us." He's going to think we're lost or some evil has befallen us, and that would be worse. So we need to go on and back. So he's considerate of his father. He's a diligent, hardworking young man, and he's full of natural advantage. But he is yet, as are we all, confined to natural or existential limitations. We are all affected by the natural world and landscape that we live in. And there's just simply some things you can't see in the natural and some things you can't find or achieve, no matter how tall you are or how diligent you are or how effective you are in natural things. He's looked everywhere and he's persisted, but he can't find those asses anywhere. He can't find them. And he's about to leave, and the servant has an idea. The servant said unto him, "Behold now, there is in this city a man of God." He's talking about Samuel. "And he is an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither peradventure, or maybe he can show us our way that we should go." So he said, "Look, we tried everything. We've looked everywhere. We've exhausted our resources. But there's a man of God here, and I know about him. What he says comes to pass. Maybe, just maybe, he can help us." There's an old song. There's a lot of old songs, and some of them are classic, and some of them are wonderful, but some of them are just not very good at all. And this is one of those songs. And if you're attracted to or attached in some way to this song, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. But this song says, "When you've tried everything, go out and get a hamburger and come back. And everything has failed, try Jesus." You can go out and get a malt. "When you've tried everything," there's that much room between them. "Everything and everything has failed, try Jesus." There's a little bridge. "He'll be your dearest friend. Eat the fries. Stay with you till the end. When you've tried everything." I don't know why I go country on this. "Everything has failed, try Jesus." You got it backwards. You got it backwards. Don't spend your life trying everything, because you could run out of life. Don't spend your time trying everything, because you can run out of time. You are mortal. You are finite. You don't have all of eternity. And it would take all of eternity to look under every rock and read every book and seek every answer in every place. I have a humble suggestion for you today. I want to suggest, try Jesus first. Try Jesus now. Try Jesus today. Try Jesus right now. And maybe, just maybe, he'll tell you which way you should go. Is there a witness in this house? I know I hurt somebody's feelings. Because these songs, like when you're coming into the church and all, every song they sing is just wonderful. And you fall in love with it all. But that's a backwards song. But what if we turn that song around? What if we turn that idea around? And what if we tried defining our natural world by spiritual values instead of defining spiritual things by the natural world? Well, I know that can't be because, and you give all the reasons. And I know I can't get that because, and you give all the natural reasons. And I know that won't ever happen, and you list all the natural reasons. But I'm not interested in listing those today. I want you to lift up your eyes beyond the arena of the natural. And I want you to open your eyes to the possibilities, the great potential of what God is. Is there anybody in this house that believes that God is able? That God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you're able to ask or think? Does anybody really believe that? Do you believe that he's able? Somebody shout, he's able. Do you believe he's able to do exceeding abundantly above? Somebody just tell about it. I believe that. I believe my God is able. I believe my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Praise God. And we're not fools, and we are not blind, and we are not detached from the physical reality around us, but simply we choose to focus on a higher reality. Everything that is in this world, whether it is spirit or natural, its underpinnings are in the creative force of the Spirit of God. Everything. I'm just telling you, when you get down to the level of quantum physics and they're observing subatomic particles, there is a curious thing that happens there. And the researchers use adjectives like ghostly, spooky, otherworldly, because they found out that those subatomic particles would respond to the observer. They found out if you were looking at it for matter, it would act like matter. And if you looked at it for particles that were like energy or wave, then it would behave like that. And you say, well, what in the world does that mean? It means that at the basic substructure of everything that is, intention affects it, and that you at some level are the children of Adam, and God gave Adam dominion over the whole world. And there's something in you that when you step up and you begin to pray and you begin to call on the promises of God, you've got some power out there in the ether that you're not even aware of today. I'm telling you, you can make things happen. You can make things happen in the positive, and you can make things happen in the negative. Don't tell me it's not true. You open your mouth and you begin to speak, you can speak yourself into the wilderness. Or you can speak yourself into the promised land. So what about it if we start defining the natural by the spiritual? What if there's a way to answer the natural unknowns with spiritual insight? You may not be looking for your father's asses tonight, today, but you're looking for something. There's somebody in this house that is hungry for something, and you're seeking after something, and you don't even know how to define it, much less to find it here or find it there. You don't know where to start the journey. You don't know what to look for. It's a common response when everything else fails, when we're all out of natural options. Well, then maybe God will help. But I have a better philosophy for you. Pray first. Pray now. Step out into the arena of the Spirit and see what God will do. Is there a witness in this house? Does prayer work? Has somebody got a testimony? Is there somebody here that can say, when I pray, God hears, and when God hears, God works, and when God works, things begin to happen? Is there a testimony in the house today? So it's a better philosophy, and it makes for a better song. I don't know how you'd sing it, so take a shot at it. Have you tried the admonition of the scripture that says seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Pray first. Here's from Isaiah. Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. God has all of this vast resource, and he loves to give it to people. There is something about the nature of God, and it's not so much he's giving things. It's his nature to radiate these things. When you get into his presence, there's fullness of joy. When you get into his presence, a healing can happen just unexpectedly. When you get into his presence, you can hear things that can affect the rest of your life. And so he gives power to the faint, but he radiates power. And when the faint come into his presence, it's available. And to them that have no might, he increases strength, and he radiates strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, those that call upon the Lord, those that serve in the presence of God, they shall renew their strength. If you're looking for strength today and you haven't found it anywhere, I want to tell you, it's not off the range of possibilities for you today. It's not that you're just that way and that's the way it's going to be. If you're looking for something, I want you to know God has strength for you today, and he wants to give it. He wants to pour it out. They shall renew their strength. Come on, somebody that wants strength from God right now, lift up your hands, lift up your voice, and begin to seek after him. Emotional strength, spiritual strength, physical strength. God's got it all. God's got everything that you need. Ah, hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Sometimes your situation can be a boat anchor on your life, and you want to have joy, but it keeps dragging you down, and you want to escape it, but it keeps pulling you back. But this tells me that there's something that you can get in the presence of God that will get you in a condition that you're like an eagle with wings, and you can soar above your present circumstance. I want you to know the circumstance may not change, but you don't have to be trapped by it. The circumstance may be real, but you can live at another level in the spirit, and you don't have to live every day suffering from that thing, but you can sing aloud upon your beds. You can sing and praise and magnify God and shock and amaze people that watch you and wonder, where do they get that strength? They mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Back to our text. Then said Saul to his servant, but if we go, what shall we bring the man? So he's a smart kid, and he's very, very considerate, and he knows that life is a quid pro quo, and he knows that if I'm going to get something from someone, that I need to have something on the table. He's not a Protestant. Martin Luther taught the whole world that you just show up and that's all there is. You don't have to do anything. You're not responsible for anything. You abdicate by being a Protestant all responsibility. And it doesn't matter what you do. That's what the Protestant theology declares. But Saul's not a Protestant. He says, if I'm going to get something from this guy, I've got to have something to bring. And the bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. And so he knows, Saul does, he knows that coming into a negotiation or a discussion or a relationship, that there's going to be give and take. There's going to have to bring something to God. That should be common sense for anybody, but if you've been polluted by Protestant theology, you are in a position where you have suspended common sense. You know it's too good to be true, but you believe it anyway because they've been telling you that since vacation Bible school when you were 5 years old, and the cookies and all of the treats really, really swayed your heart in that direction, and And I can still smell Vacation Bible School. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Sounds militant, scary, but when you were a little kid, it was just kind of, I'm gonna go get cookies, Kool-Aid and other good stuff that I never had at my house. But we digress. Back to the text. A little inside information. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. So in the Old Testament, they called who would later be known as prophets seers. And it's just obvious they could see. They could see into the future. They could see into the heart of an individual. They could see the complex things of life and see answers and solutions for them. And so they were called a seer. Now, they're going to find somebody that can see. And heretofore, they've been walking in the dark. Up to this point, he is at a total loss about where these donkeys are. And he can't find them. And he's run out of options. And he just can't see a solution. So they are going to a seer. And why can the seer see? He can see because he is connected to God. And he's filled with the Spirit. And don't look at me that way. You believe that or else you're a liar because you sing Amazing Grace, don't you? Don't you sing Amazing? Julia and Sam, it's so good to see you back in church. I love having these post-COVIDs back in the house, you know. It's so good. We got a good group of post-COVIDs. We need T-shirts or something. I survived 2020. I've already had the bug. Don't be scared of me. Something like that. Now, anyway, the seer can see because he's connected to God. And he's filled with the Spirit. And he's not held to the limitations of the natural. And he's able to penetrate into areas where otherwise they are in the dark. And so it makes brilliant sense to go and seek after the presence of God. Now, I know I'm talking to an enlightened crowd here today. I know I'm talking to people that have all the answers and everything comes up roses for you. And there's not a mystery in your life and you've never been befuddled. And you right now, you understand everything in your life. You know exactly what tomorrow's going to be like. And you've got it on your calendar. You know what next week and next year's going to be like. You know everything because you see clearly, right? That's who I'm talking to. But just in case some blind person that's been living in the dark has stumbled into this place today, there's good news for you because there is a condition where people can see, not by natural eyesight, but by the Spirit of God. And is there a witness in this house? Have you ever been stumbling around in the dark and then all of a sudden in prayer, God turns on the lights, God gives you an answer, and you begin to see things you never thought about before? Praise God. You know that's true. You sing Amazing Grace. You sing, I once was blind, but now I see. And either you believe this message in the Spirit or you're an abject liar because you weren't physically blind. But, okay, so Samuel sees them coming. And they went up to the city, and when they were coming to the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. A little gal had met them, and she told him, the seer's here. He's about to go up to the high place and make sacrifice. And if you time this just right, you can meet him. And they did. He was going up to the high place, and they met him. Now, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I'll send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. This is something Saul doesn't know. He doesn't have a clue. He can't even imagine this conversation is going on between Samuel and God. He has no idea about his destiny. He probably thinks he's going to just take over the farm and be like his daddy and live a life that he's accustomed to, but his whole world is about to turn upside down, and it's because God has a plan for him. And he says, I looked upon my people because their cry is come up unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. So Samuel, through the Spirit, sees more about Saul than Saul sees about himself. I just want to take a brief survey. Is there anybody here that has had a revelatory experience in God and you saw literally something that was going to happen in the next weeks or days or months, and then that thing happened? You heard it in prayer. Let me see your hand. Why don't you just stand up and say, I'll testify. God has spoken to me and God revealed. Now look, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, we got a lot more than two or three here today. And God has spoken to us. And God has given us a word. And God has turned on the light. I'm just telling you, if you're in the dark today, this is a house full of witness that'll tell you God knows where the light switch is in your life. About your life, about your family, about your moral behavior, about your destiny, about your vocation. God has the answer. Somebody say amen. So Samuel sees more about Saul than Saul sees about himself. And that's one of the reasons you really need to come into contact with this light of God and this revelatory moving of the Spirit of God. Paul knows about this, and he writes in the New Testament, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Because you are essentially, even though you take care of your natural man perhaps better than you do your spiritual man, that really is another thing that is backwards, but you can't know yourself if you're just operating in the natural. You have no idea who you are, why you were made, what your purpose is, what your destiny is, what your value is. To know that, you've got to get yourself into the presence of God. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And by the way, that's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God within. And this young man received the Holy Ghost right here in the baptistry today. And he received it just like they did in the book of Acts. He began to speak in tongues, another language, just like they did, as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. And God will pour out his Spirit on you here today. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you can have the Holy Ghost today. You can go home with the light switch on. You can go home in the presence of God. Yes, you can. And if you're carnal, and if you're backslidden, and if you hadn't prayed through, and you hadn't talked in tongues in a long time, you're emerging backwards. You're moving back into the darkness, and you need to get that fixed today. You need to go back into the presence of God and be filled all over again. It was a recurring experience in the New Testament church. So Paul says, you can't know you, and you can't know God or the things of God without the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, we had that before, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us. God will give it to all of us. God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. He wants to give you blessings. He wants to give you understanding and knowledge and wisdom. And he's got an answer in his hand for you right now. And he wants to give it to you. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the unrevived man, the man or woman without the Holy Ghost, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And like right now, if you're, it's like you're all a little bit schizophrenic. You really are. Call it what you want to call it, but everybody's got different voices in them, and you might, under the word of God or in the presence of God, you might start thinking thoughts like, I need to live for God at a high level. But it's 11:24, and your inner man might just say, cheeseburger. I need to pray this morning. Cheeseburger. I need to draw close to God. Cheeseburger. Yeah. Cheeseburger. Because the only time that flesh is really, really going to want to pray, because every time you want to pray, the flesh is saying sleep, cheeseburger, something else, something other. The last thing the flesh wants to do is pray, because it's the most useless waste of time for the flesh. But you let that car go out of control and start doing 360s on an icy interstate, and that flesh is pray, pray, pray. And if you got a sense of humor, your spirit would go, cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Hey, I don't want a cheeseburger. I want you to pray. The flesh knows and understands, but it takes a tragedy. It takes a disaster. Oh, everybody's praying down at the ICU, and everybody's praying down at the hospital when it looks like life and death is hanging on a thread. And everybody wants to pray like that. But you got to wake the flesh up. So what you got to do is get that flesh by the collar and bring it down to an altar and get it down in a place and make it pray until it likes to pray. You can train it. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you can train your flesh. Come on, you can train your flesh to play a banjo. You can train your flesh to do gymnastics. You can train your flesh to do all sorts of amazing things. It's amazing how fearfully and wonderfully you're made. You can train your flesh to pray. You can discipline your... That's what a disciple is. It's someone who is disciplined. And you can disciple yourself into prayer. So it's a matter of bringing yourself into the presence of God and getting yourself in a place where you can hear what God has to say and receive what God freely wants to give to you. Praise God. Praise God. So here's where we're going today. So if you need an answer and you need a solution and you need deliverance or you need something in your life and you don't even know what the question is, much less the answer, the first thing you need, and this is so counter to the natural man, the first thing you need is a moving of the Spirit of God. You need the presence of God. I'm so glad you were here this morning, because when that praise group got to cranking on that business about the blood still works. There was a moving of the Spirit of God in this house. Is there a witness here? There was a moving of the presence of God. Now, you might have felt it and you might not have known what it was, but I'm going to tell you what it was. It was a moving of the presence of God. And then when they stopped and they began to work together and they started singing, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. And they started singing about the blood. My goodness gracious, there was something moving in this house. What happens there is in a time of prayer or worship, a portal is open, because the spiritual world is not somewhere off 10 million light years, hang a left at the light, down past the burger doodle, and there it is. It's not like that. It's like right here. It's a dimensional thing, and you can get into it right here. You've got the key. You've got the door handle in your hand. You can open up a portal to another world, a world that's full of riches and treasure, and I don't mean natural treasure. I mean stuff that's far more valuable than the natural. I mean the answers to your dilemma and the healing for your life and the healing for your soul that'll bless you psychically and spiritually. Somebody say amen. Is there a witness in the house today? Praise God. You can, by prayer, you can open a portal and you can step into where the things of God are, because God is not far from any one of us. He's right here with you. He's just a prayer away. He's just a praise away. He's just an opening of your heart and a tearing of the flesh away. He is so close to you right now. The thing you've been needing is right here in this house today with you. But I can't open it, and the singers can't open it. You've got to reach out, and you've got to open that door. God, I need you. God, I'm seeking you. God, I need an answer. God, I need you to move in my life. Now, I'm going to tell you about a moving of the Spirit of God. God inhabits the praises of his people. So he doesn't inhabit the begging of his people. So if you're just talking to God about your long laundry list of all the things that you need, then perhaps you're not going to make much progress today. But if you'll just, in the middle of your miserable condition, in the middle of your failure, in the middle of your need, in the middle of all that, the first thing you do is you just begin to praise him. I don't have a lot of time for a tutorial on it, but the Bible says, clap your hands, all you people, shout to God with a voice of triumph. So it's active, it's vocal, it's audible, it's you open up your voice, you begin to give God praise, you say things like the scripture says, you begin to talk about his wondrous works, how great he is, how awesome he is. Thank you, God, for your mercies. Thank you, God, for my heart is still beating. Thank you, God, for the breath that I'm breathing today. Thank you, God, for another chance to live, another chance to come into your presence. You begin to praise him and worship him. I thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed. I thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the wonderful word of God that we can find you by and just begin to praise him. It needs to be your prayer. It needs to be your prayer. But as you begin to praise him, he begins to touch you. He begins to come to you. You begin to open that portal and step out of the natural and into the realm of the spirit. And you're not moving. If somebody saw you, they wouldn't ascertain that you had moved any direction or any distance. But you've moved a million miles from where you are and where you have been. And you've moved into the presence of God. And you can do that in prayer. You can find something in prayer that'll change the rest of your life. You can find something in prayer that'll heal your heart. You can find something in prayer that'll heal your body. You can find something in prayer that'll be the answer to your family and all of the emotional turmoil. I'm just telling you today, you can find things in prayer in the house of the seer, in the place of the moving of the Spirit of God. In Genesis chapter 1, and if you've been around the Word of God at all, you're familiar with this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, everyone say the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. And it was without form and void. And it was chaos is what the word is in the Hebrew. And it was shapeless and formless. But the Spirit of God begins to move on it. And in the original, it's like he's brooding over it, like a mother hen broods over eggs or broods over her young. And the Spirit of God was brooding over that. And Paul reaches back from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he says, just like it was in the beginning, just like God shed forth light there in the beginning, so God has shined his light into our hearts. And so Paul, the great apostle, is saying there's a direct connection between Genesis chapter 1 and your life. And let me tell you, God wants to overshadow your life today by his Spirit. And you may be chaotic, and you may be in abject darkness, and you may be working in the dark, but God wants to turn on the lights for you today. And God wants to overshadow your chaos, and he brings forth light. First thing he does is speak, the word of God comes forth, and then he brings forth light. Let there be light. And he separates night and day and darkness and light. And then he brings forth a ground of being, something solid and something sure. And I know I'm talking to somebody today that it's been a long time since you felt like your feet were planted on a rock. A long time since you felt like life was stable and solid. But I want you to know, if you can get into the presence of God and God can begin to overshadow your life, God can bring forth a ground of being for you. And you'll walk out of this house today saying, I don't know what it is, but I feel so much confidence. I feel so much strength. I feel so much stability. And it's only because I reached out and touched God today. And God reached down and he touched me. Let's clap our hands. Let's lift a voice. Let's magnify him just a little bit right now. Is there anybody that can witness today that I was in a place of chaos, but then God came. I was in a place of darkness, but then God came. I was in a place that was unstable and unsure and fluid, and I didn't know where I was going to wake up in the morning, but then God came to my life. And in that creation story, he brings forth light and a ground of being. And so the first thing that happens there is a moving of the Spirit. And I'm so glad you came to a Pentecostal church today. I'm so glad you came to a place where the Spirit of God is moving. You could have done 100 other things this morning, but none of them would have been a place where the Spirit of God is moving and compelling and drawing and enticing. I want you to know that God has light for you today. And some of you have been bumbling around and bouncing from here to there, and you keep bumping your knees on the coffee table and stubbing your toe on things you can't see. It's dangerous. It's like living in a house where grandbabies are. It's like I used to walk through my house praying at night, didn't have to wonder, didn't have to worry at all. I knew where everything was, and nothing started laughing at me out of the corner in the dark. And I can't walk anywhere now without a light, because there's traps everywhere. You hadn't lived until you've walked on some little crazy thing that starts rolling and screaming and laughing, and you get thrown up into a pile of those things, and it's like being attacked by little midgets. And it's, anyway, it's not good. It's not healthy. It's not productive. It's not something you want to continue to walk in the dark. Everybody say, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You can't buy it with your earthly money. You can't get it with political power. You can't get it by social interaction. You won't get it by chasing a girl. You won't get it by chasing a boy. You won't get it in any of the natural pursuits of men. But every good and every perfect gift is from above. What do you mean from above? It's out of the Spirit of God. God's got everything you have need of. And comes down, isn't that sweet? God comes down to see about us. He comes down to our level because we can't get up to him. From the Father of lights, he is the Father of light. Well, he gave birth to light there in Genesis 1. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's not about to change. He can't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever you see him do for somebody else, he can do for you. And whatever you read about in the Word of God that he did for anybody, he can do for you. Is there an amen in the house? Will God turn on the lights in your life? Will God give you gifts that are good and perfect? Anybody here just blessed today in the kingdom of God? Is there anybody here that is the possessor of good gifts? Anybody here have some perfect gifts in your life that God has given you? Are you glad for it? Praise God. So you have needs in the natural, and those are pressing on you. But first, seek the kingdom of God. Seek the righteousness. Sam, come help me. Define terms now by the Spirit. Are in the Spirit. Praise God. Talk like that. Live like that. Believe like that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, what is the kingdom? Paul says it this way. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not natural things. It's not the rituals, and it's not the physical things or the physical things that are associated with our living for God. But it's righteousness. It's finding God's value system, plugging into that. It's peace. It's stepping into a place in the Spirit where all your anxiety, oh my goodness, there's somebody here tonight. You had trouble sleeping last night. You're having such a bout of anxiety right now. But you need to know God's got peace like a river. He's got peace that passes all understanding. Is there anybody here that God helped you and delivered you from an anxious heart and a fearful heart, and now you lie in the bed and you think sweet thoughts, and God's given you deliverance from all of that torture that you were in before? God will do that for you here today. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I know It's been a long time since you've really been happy, a long time since you really had joy in your life. But I want you to know God has joy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the Old Testament prophet said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. These are things you got to get into. And you may just be locked in. What are you doing? Well, I'm looking for my father's donkeys. I'm looking for some life. I'm doing my job. I'm looking for life, and I'm looking for what I need in the natural, and I'm looking for another cheeseburger. But I want you to lift up your eyes today, and I want to tell you, you're more than that, and there's more for you than that, and God's got something for you today that he'd be happy to pour out on you today. My God, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it is the will of God for you to receive the Holy Ghost today. If you're a backslider, it's the will of God for you to be filled up again into the overflowing today. Praise God. The Old Testament writer was having an encounter with an angel. And the angel said unto him, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might. Somebody say, it's not by might. Show your neighbor your best muscle and say, it's not by might. Some of you probably should have gone, it's not by might. Now say, it's not by power. The president can't get this for you, and the governor can't get this for you, and the law can't get this for you. But there's a power that's bigger than the powers of this world. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit. Somebody say, it's by his spirit. Say, it's by his spirit. Say, it's by his Holy Spirit. My God, are you glad to have the Holy Ghost? I need somebody to shout a little bit right now. I mean, shout a little bit in the Holy Ghost. Shake a little bit right now. Shake a little bit in the Holy Ghost. Loose that Holy Ghost. Talk in tongues here for a minute. Let it flow forth out of you. Let it get on somebody else. Make it cloud up and rain in the house today. Somebody wants the Holy Ghost right now. I know you want the Holy Ghost right now. Come on down right here. Come on down right here. God will give you the Holy Ghost. We'll lay hands on you and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. You want it today, God will give it to you. Praise God. Praise God. What you going to sing? What you going to sing? Don't know what you're going to sing. I'm going to quit. We'll find Saul's donkeys tonight. And we'll get him anointed to be king tonight. But I want you to know, you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there the way you're going. You got to start trying it God's way. You're not going to find the answers that you need doing what you've been doing. But you got to start walking in the Spirit of God. It starts with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want everybody in the house right now, lift up your hands, lift up your voice. Just shut off everything and everybody around you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, talk in tongues. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, just begin to praise him. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I lift you up, oh God. I magnify you, oh God. Sister Kenya, you can get the Holy Ghost right now. You can get it right now. Just loose your voice and begin to praise him and magnify him. Come on, all over the house right now. Keep your hands up. Keep your voice up. Keep your voice up. We want somebody to get the Holy Ghost here. Just go ahead and lose yourself in that.
I'm gonna give you power to walk right. Power, sanctify power.
today. Somebody let that Holy Ghost flow in your vessel. Come on, Preston. Somebody open the portal. Somebody make it cloud up and rain.
Lift a voice and give God all the praise. If you're standing next to somebody, touch them and say, He'll give you power. Praise God. Thank you, praise group. Thank you, musicians. You do such wonderful work. So good to be in the house of God with you on a Sunday morning. We're going to do this again this evening. Prayer at 6, an apostolic church service at 6:30. God bless all of our folks that are still home and they're still hunkered down and they're still separating themselves. You guys keep having church around the coffee table and in the kitchen. Won't be long. We'll all be back together in the house. God bless you.